Hi, and welcome to the Desert Heights Church Weekly Message, where we study Scripture together, verse by verse. Let's jump in now for this week's message.
The law considers it adultery for her to marry another man. Yes, Brent, that's simple. We're glad you explained that to us. New Living Translation says married to another man, ESV, and I believe that the New American Standard also says lives with another man. So as I'm studying this, one says married, one says lives with. Well, in my mind, those are two pretty significant ideas that are being presented. So one is wrong, right? So I looked into it. Here's a very literal translation of married to another man or lives with another man. It is possessed by another man. It is possessed in the sense of owned. Are you with me? So it has no sexual connotation. It's owned. Paul has used, listen carefully, Paul has used a sin that illustrates how sin possesses us, or in this case, how the law possesses us. Similar to how a husband under the law possesses his wife. See how that works? For a wife to be possessed by another man breaks the law. Right? If she's married and her husband is alive and she goes out and is possessed, she marries another man, she sleeps with another man, she has sexual relationships with another man, she is possessed by another man, that is adultery, that is sin. Unless the husband is dead. Then, y'all understand death? Yes. I know I asked you that a while ago, but I'm asking again just to make sure, because as we go along, you're going to change the definition of death. I know you're going to do it. You're going to do it. Unless the husband is dead, unless he's dead, then she is released from the possession of her husband. And then when she's released from the possession of her husband because he died, then she is totally free to be possessed by another man. I used to joke with my wife about taking a date to her funeral if she ever died on me. I'm like, I'm looking for somebody else. I don't joke about it anymore. It's not funny. As you get older, it's really not funny. Death, this is point number one, severs the bond. I knew whenever I wrote that I was going to read it wrong. Death severs the bond. What severs the bond? Death. So keep in mind, I am not teaching on marriage here. Paul is simply using this as an illustration, and it is a perfect illustration that the law only applies to the living. Those who have died, or when the law is dead, then we are no longer bound to it. When it's dead. Okay, number two, possessed to produce. I probably could have broken this up into more points, but this makes it more fun. Possessed to produce. So, verse four, my dear brothers and sisters, Paul repeats his endearment to them because he knows that they're fixing to throw rocks at him. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You died to the power of the law. Do you see what happened in your brains just now? I mean, we've been talking about death. We understand death. We know what a funeral is. We know what cold and dead is. We come to this and we're like, you died to the power of the law. And everybody went, yeah, but no. You ain't go stand out on grandpa's grave and be like, hey, grandpa, we're going to Chili's. What do you want? What? No, he's dead. We're free from that. We don't have to ask what he wants. We don't have to buy his meal anymore. He's dead. So, Brent, you're being disrespectful. It's because you guys don't get it. Christianity has failed to get this. Okay, back to the text, Brent. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You died, dead, to the power of the law. When? When you died with Christ. Oh, this is so exciting because Paul is pulling back that baptizo from last week, right? Remember last week, baptizo, that we died with Christ. When you died with Christ, you died with Christ. And now you are, you are united. Wonder what that word's going to be. When the one who raised, with the one, I'm going to try again. And now you are united with the one who raised, who was raised from the dead. If you could be in my mind, you know, you see the little mouse in the wheel and it's going, zzz. It's not on a turbo. That's why I put it on the screen. You can read it. Here's the point. Here's the point. Death severs the bond that the law has to possess us. You are not possessed by the law. You are not enslaved to the law. The reason that I think that this is such a big deal, I was raised in church. I was raised in a good home. I was raised by grace. I really was. But there's still this part inside of me, and I believe every person, every one of us. We can say we believe in faith through Jesus, by faith in Jesus. We're saved by faith. Christ paid it all. We say that. And then we do this, yeah, but I'll be closer to God if I keep the law. I didn't keep the law yesterday, so I'm not close to the law. And we come to Romans chapter 7, and Paul is shaking his hands at us and saying, you moron. He's not saying you moron. I'm saying you're moron. You're dead to the law. Yeah, but Brent, no. No, we're dead to the law. Death severs the bond that the law has to possess us. And if I haven't made you nervous yet, I'm going to push the envelope a little more. We are in Christ Jesus through baptizo, that baptism, baptized into Christ, pickled with Jesus. And then Jesus died on the cross. So we are in Christ. And then at the end of service, if I'm correct, I think that Thomas is going to sing the old rugged cross. Beautiful. Hallelujah. So in Christ, we are in Christ through baptism. And then Jesus died on the cross with us being pickled with him. We also died with Christ. Therefore, did you get what's happening? Brent, the chronology doesn't work. That's how spiritual things are. Get over it. Therefore, since we died with Christ on the cross, therefore, severing the power of the law over us, therefore, freeing us to be possessed by another. I think that's pretty deep stuff. But it doesn't stop there. Because Paul also goes on, he says, and now you are united. He's been using a marriage relation, a word, illustration, right? Now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. Before, you were united or possessed by the law, by sin in Romans chapter 6, by the law in the beginning of Romans 7. Before, you were possessed by the law. The law kept you possessed. Now, you are united with, or you are possessed, same word again, by the one who was raised from the dead. Do you see what happened here? The law, we died to the law, broke that marriage relationship. So now we're free to be with another, to be possessed with another. We're possessed by who? The one who rose from the dead. Coming into Easter, that's pretty, I could preach this again on Easter. In verse 3, the Living Translation says, so while her husband is alive, she would be committing adultery if she married another. Other translation says lived with, or literal translation, possessed by another man. Paul uses the same word in verse 4 to explain how you and I as believers are possessed by another, by Christ, the one who was raised from the dead. We died to the law to be possessed by the risen Jesus. You okay? Some of you are about to have a stroke. Okay? So now this is, Paul is writing all of this after he has asked the question two times, and whenever scripture repeats itself, it's because it's important. He's asked us twice, should we keep sinning? And Paul is continuing to answer that question. Although we went from chapter 6 to chapter 7, we're continuing to answer that same question. In chapter 6, Paul says we are in Christ, so we've died to the power of sin. Because we're in Christ, we've died to the power of sin. Here in chapter 7, we are in Christ, we have died to the power of the law. To the power of the law. And we have been joined to the resurrected Jesus. Not in an adulterous two-timing way, because the only way it cannot be adulterous in two-timing is because we died to the law. We're no longer bound to the law. Death severed the bond. We died to the law. We're no longer bound to the law. Because of that death, we are set free to be possessed by Jesus. Now, the end of verse 4, he says, as a result, if you write in your Bible, you should highlight, you should take a red marker, you should, I don't know what you do. You got to do something there. As a result of what? As a result of dying to the law and being made alive in the resurrection of Jesus, as a result, we have the capacity now to produce a harvest. Everybody say harvest. That's big, right? Okay, y'all are not a bunch of farmers. Harvest is a good thing. We can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. The result of being Jesus possessed. Yeah, I said it that way intentionally. The result of being Jesus possessed is the new ability to produce in our lives a harvest of good deeds for God. You died to the septic tank. You no longer splash around in the septic tank saying, I'm going to do something glorious for God. By the resurrection power of Jesus, you have been raised up from the septic tank. That's a great illustration. You have been given, I think it was Romans 6, it might have been Romans 5, I forget, reference is really bad. You have been given a place of undeserved privilege, a place of grace. See, from a septic tank to a place of grace is not a good title. That doesn't sell. Now, you are possessed to produce. You do good deeds. Why? For the glory of God. Do we continue to sin? Do we continue to sin? Are you serious? No, we don't continue to sin. We continue to... Well, let's look at the next verse. Do we continue to sin? Great. I love it. We're headed for the next verse, verse 5. Don't read ahead of me. Is it already up there? Oh, stink. When we were controlled by our old nature. Okay, he's kind of changing up the illustration here. When we were controlled, it's still this issue of being, of controlling, possession, slavery. When you were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us. And the law aroused those evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds, resulting in death. That was the way we were before we were baptized in Jesus. And some of you will remember distinctly when you were younger, hopefully, or maybe just previous to salvation, that you know that there's things inside of your heart that are not right. And the minute, and you try not to do those things because you go to church and you're told you're not supposed to do those things. So you kind of try not to. But the minute that the pastor stands up and says, you cannot do that, then you leave the church going, I'm going to go do it. Yep, I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to sin. I'm going to prove Brent is an idiot. You don't have to work hard at that. Right? I mean, not the idiot part. Just tell me I can't, and I'll show you I can, even if it's a sin. I will do stupid things just to prove to you that I can, because that's how our sinful hearts are wired. But now, verse 6, watch now. But now, this is so huge, we have been released from the law. Do you hear the tire screeching? I do. Because I work with you guys all the time. I have conversations with you. Like, oh, Brent, I was really serving God well. And then such and such happened. And we often use the illustration of, I was hit my finger with a hammer and I said a cuss word. So now Jesus doesn't love me anymore. But now we have been released from the law. Yeah, but Brent, we have to keep the law around so that we know when we sin. We have been released. Is that what the Bible says? But now. I mean, I'm still learning English. I have not mastered English, but I think we can get this. But now, contrast present, okay? But now, all right? We have been released, we're set free, severed from what? The law. So what does that mean? We've been released from the law. In the Greek, it means you've been released from the law. I always like it, whatever. Teachers make things complicated. What does that mean? It means you're released from the law. It means that the law is dead. Yeah, but we could still order an appetizer for Grandpa, right? Yes, and then we could eat it. We have been released from the law. Why? For we have died. Died. Dead. Dead, dead, dead. Do you know how this is going to sound on the radio? But now we have been released from the law, severed, for we died to it. What is it? The law. And are no longer captive. We're no longer possessed to its power. So is there going to be temptation? Yeah, but we're not possessed by that power of sin. Now we can serve God. Here is the contrast. The law being over us, or we're set free to just serve God. I'm getting ahead of myself. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law. I'm so confused. So we come to Jesus, but we don't have to keep the Old Testament law? That's what the text says. What? Now we can serve God. What are we supposed to be doing? Are we supposed to be keeping the law and not sinning? Or are we supposed to be serving God? I don't know, Brent. You have us all confused. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law. Well, what other way is there to obey the law? Paul knows this. He was the Jew of all the Jews, the Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was the one who memorized the law and kept the law to the letter of the law. This is where Paul's arrogance lies. Did you get that? This is where Paul's arrogance, his self-confidence that says, I can keep the law. I can make myself righteous. And then Paul gets saved. He comes to salvation. He comes to faith in Jesus. And he says, I could have kept the law perfectly and never come close to the righteousness of God. So I died to the law because it made me miserable. I turned my back on it. I like that illustration. Turn my back on it. Stick to the notes, Brent. Through faith in the risen Lord Jesus, you have been released from the law. You, I feel like some of you are looking at me like I'm on thin ice. I'm not. I'm on the word of God. You guys are on thin ice. You have died. It's even better in the message, huh, Larry? You, because of faith in Jesus, you have died to it, baptizo, cross, all that, and are no longer captive to its power. What does that mean, Brent? It means you no longer measure yourself by the standard of the law. waiting for it. If you had a tomato, you'd throw it at me. It means you no longer measure yourself by the standard of the law. You no longer use the law to determine whether you are good enough or not good enough. Brent, why are you making an issue of this? Because I've done this for a long time. And people come to me who genuinely love God, and they say, Brent, I have failed. Tell me about your failure. I sinned. Look, here in the Old Testament, we're doing it in soap. I sinned. I wore polyester. And they're brokenhearted. And I'm like, listen, man, you can worry about your clothing, or you can fix your eyes upon Jesus and living for the glory of God. That's what Romans 7 is about. Okay? So you no longer use the law to determine whether you are good enough. Because that really was not a good illustration. Salvation is not you being good enough. I just want to help you out with this. You're not good enough. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why you put faith in him. You're not good enough. You will never be good enough. So stop measuring yourself by the law. Stop measuring yourself by the law. And I know that there are certain personality types, perfectionistic personalities, that are like, yes, but we have to have the objective black and white so that we can measure ourselves, so that we can see how we're doing in our relationship with God. Let me tell you what the black and white is. The black and white is Jesus died on the cross in the red for you to be completely saved. That's very black and white. Jesus didn't die on the cross and say, man, we got Brent 80% of the way if he can only work himself the next 20%. But God in his wisdom said, Brent can't work himself 1%. So the conversation in the Trinity was, Holy Spirit, what do you think we should do? And Jesus says, we got to pay the whole price. We got to pay it all because Brent's a moron. He will just keep sinning. If we put it on, stick to your notes, Brent. I have no idea where I'm at in my notes. That presents a problem. Let's start over. Third, you no longer measure your morality by the law. I say all that, I put this in my notes, and I can feel panic in the room. How do we know? How do I know then if I am a Christian if we don't, even more so than myself because I like to examine other people. How do I know if I'm a Christian? How do I know if other people are a Christian if we don't use the standard of the law to measure them? Because even if you've been in church all of your life, there's still something inside of you deep down in your sinful little heart that says we have to keep the law. I need a better system for tissues, don't I? My nose hasn't run until just now. Am I the only one in the room that feels that way? We are raised, even in the grace of Christianity, we still have this tether to, yeah, but I have to perform or God won't like me anymore. Are y'all okay? Man, all of a sudden I feel like I'm standing out on the end of the limb and you guys are sawing on the other end. He says, Now that you've died to the law, you can serve God. Not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. This was the concept that Paul introduced back in Romans chapter 2. Okay? Remember I told you, Paul is really good about, he introduces a big concept with supporting ideas. And then later on, he takes that supporting idea and he brings it back. And he's like, boom. So in Romans chapter 2, verse 29, he says, no, a true Jew is one whose heart, because the previous discussion is, cannot be saved by the law. No, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is a change of heart that is produced by my own will. No, it's produced by the Spirit, and it's a big S. You know what he's talking about? It's the Holy Spirit. It took the Spirit of the living God to transform you. You were that stinky. Where are we at? And a person with a changed heart, this is what I was looking for here. Here's where I'm headed. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. But Brent, what about the law? Don't we still have to obey the law? And I'm going to say this very clearly so that you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Forget about the law. The offering boxes are locked. You cannot get your money back. Forget about the law. You are dead. Remember dead? Do you remember what that was? Because, like I said, you guys have been twisting it since I started in verse 4. You were dead to the law. You are free from the law. The law and sin are behind you. You are possessed. And I mean that in every sense of the word. You are possessed by the resurrected Christ Jesus. You now are capable, you have the capacity to live a life that is productive for the glory of God. As long as you are alive to the law, you will not live a life that is glory that glorifies God. Because what you will do, your law living is still egocentric. Come home and tell my wife, I kept all 10 commandments all day long. Okay, I just lied. So I kept 9 of them. That's still pretty good. Look at me. Because even when we're doing good with the law, it's still about the pride of our heart. And God says, the Holy Spirit says, die to the law. Forget the law. Live for the glory of God. Because now the Holy Spirit is in you through baptism. You have been saturated with the Spirit that seeks to please God, not people. So you say, well, how do we stay away from sin? Well, you just run hard after God and sin won't be a problem. Is that difficult? Don't look at me with a screwed up face right now. Some of you are like, wait, what? We run hard after God and then sin's not an issue. Do you see how we get it backwards? I don't have time to camp here, but I'm going to do it anyway. We spend all of our time saying, I got to get the law right. And the whole time God is saying, I died on the cross so that you're right. And we have our back turned to the cross while we fiddle with the law. He says, die to the law. Die to the law. Dig a hole. Put it in there. Cover it up. Forget about it. Brent, we've not ever been taught that we forget about the law. We have to read the law. It's in soap. Forget about the law. This is a whole new way of living. A new way of living. Especially if you've been raised in church. It's a whole new way of living. We're saved by faith, but if you talk during church, God's going to get you. Right, parents? We did that. They're not leaving. They're getting communion. Calm down. It's like, yeah, boy, look at all the people Brent offended this morning. They're just leaving. They're getting communion. Hold your horses. The law is no longer a taskmaster beating us over the head and about the shoulders for our failure. We are free from the law to live for the glory of God. We are empowered not by our own will or our own power, but by God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God inside of us, because we are given the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, right? It's one of my favorite verses.
You have been listening to the Desert Heights Church weekly message. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. on Main Street in Farmington, New Mexico. If you'd like more information, please visit our website at desertheightschurch.com.